Got my book. I'm all ready to go. Ooh, pop my fingers. Fucking good. Hey guys, what's up? It's me, Dangerous ASMR, and we are back again, yet again, for another Drunken Dangerous. That's right, it is Hump Day Wednesday, and I am recording this in my glamorous studio basement with a fantastic view of shirts, pants, shoes, and a black garbage bag full of donations to Goodwill. Truly, truly, I live in a palace. Queen of all I survey. Hello, my black garbage bag people. Your queen is here. Anyway, this is a Wednesday. I am entirely too high for it. 9:33 in the morning. Thank you so much. Your patronage is quite appreciated. For this, the hard work I do. I slave. Pardon me, I'm just vaping some cannabis. Oh, my life is hard. Anyway. Speaking of my life. Okay, so Grigner is gone. He's gone to Valhalla with his French lady love. And I asked you guys in the last couple days something you'd like to see for Valentine's Day. I did intend to make this a special Valentine's-y Dangerous ASMR. And then I said fuck it, because this is way better. This thing was, I've decided, was way better. So I was going through my storage bins and looking for old shit, because I had to track down this old Barbie doll, Jasmine from Aladdin, to show one of my patrons, because I'm really cool like that. I still anyway, so I, in my search, I happened to stumble across something that was requested, which was to read some of my old poems or things from my journals, things like that. I didn't really keep a diary, and like the only diary entries of mine that I have ever stumbled across are the most cringy, existential crisis-y bullshit kid stuff that, like, I don't know if, like, I remember coming across an old diary, and it was just me in, like, caps letters writing, fuck you, mom, fuck you, dad, I hate you. And then afterward, when I came to my senses, I'd, like, scribble all over it. Like, I'd be afraid they'd go through my diary and be like, oh, she hates us. So it's that kind of cringe where I'm just like, if I repeat this, if I share this publicly, I don't think I can afford the therapy I would need afterward to come to grips with this. I prefer to block that segment of my life out. Just put it in a little box and hide it away in the corner of shame with all my other memories. Anyway, I found a fantastic, priceless piece of dangerous history. It is a publication that was put out by my middle school, and it called itself, it said it was our middle school's fine arts magazine. The finest magazine you can get in printed pages bound at Staples. And this book is, I haven't read it in forever. It is primarily full of poems, one of which is mine. Thank you very much. Little 12-year-old me thinking like, yay, I'm going to be in this fine arts magazine put out by my middle school. And like, I thought, what better to read during Drunken Dangerous than my own middle school's fine arts magazine from when I was in eighth grade. And yes, we will be making fun of children. And no, I do not care. Fuck those kids. They're all adults now. They can fucking deal with it. You know what? Most of them were little pricks. Everyone in middle school is a prick. So all these kids when they wrote these, were all little fucking douchebags. Me included. Anyway, names will be censored to protect the innocent children that wrote these horrible poems. I mean, I'm sure they're great. If they're great, I will eat my words. But I remember the kind of poetry I wrote when I was 12, and it was not great. So I hope you enjoy this Valentine's edition of Dangerous ASMR. There's nothing to do with Valentine's Day, where we roast my middle school fine arts magazine. Let us begin. I mean, presumably we roast it. I don't know. And I haven't read this in, like, yeah, ever. Those little kids are going to be so fucking burned. It's it's going to be good stuff. Okay. All right, well, this is a really sad one to start with. It's called loneliness. Loneliness is an empty room, dark as the night sky, no sounds made. All walls seem to close in on any person in the room. All is silent until one speaks, then echoes answer back. That's a pretty big room. If a person can speak in it and then it echoes back at you. Loneliness is an empty room. Wait a minute. If the room was empty, is it really lonely because there's nobody there to be alone? Like, a room doesn't give a shit. The room is empty. Yeah. And then maybe the room is alive. Oh, shit. Never thought about that. A person... Yeah, think about this. Okay, the empty room is actually a human being that has been transformed into a room but can't tell people because they're a room now. They have no mouth. They're stepped on all day and that's not even their fetish. That would be lonely as fuck. Very disappointing. 0 out of 10 existence. I feel it. Loneliness is being a person trapped inside a room. I mean, in the body of a room, being a room. A room doesn't have a body. Okay. This one is called I Am. I am a dreamer. I am a goal setter. I am a daughter. I am loved. I am witty. I am humble. No, that's not in there. I am patient. I am adventurous. I am a traveler. I am a dreamer. Wait, there's more. There's literally more. It's still, there's a period and a space and there's still more. This person's fucking resume. I am free. I am unique. I am athletic. I am an animal lover. I am a Christian. I am organized. I am persistent. I am who I am. I am free. What the fuck? That's not a poem. That's a list of positive traits. Except for the Christian part. I honestly, like, I wish that I had the balls this kid did when somebody's like, hey, let's all write a poem for the class. And, like, you stand up, you're in college, and you're just like, I am a dreamer. I am organized. I am clean. I have showered this morning. I am better than you. There you go. Ta-da, my poem. Oh, look, here's a good one. This one is called San Francisco. San Francisco. Rice. Each word has its own line. So it's San Francisco. Rice. Did this kid just eat Rice-A-Roni and he's like, hey, this is the San Francisco treat. Fuck yeah. Poetry inspiration. Okay. San Francisco. Rice. White. Snow. Skiing. Pee. Football. 49ers. San Francisco. Rice. God, those in the immortal words of that child. God, why do we have the book of his poetry? Quote it. If I still had a Facebook, it'd be my quotes would just be San Francisco. Rice. And then I would just put the kid's name. And I'd be like, so deep. You wouldn't understand. You're not from San Francisco. I mean, neither am I, but, you know, seems like the thing to say. Okay, This next poem is called Yesterday. Yesterday, what was today? What is tomorrow? What will be? What was messed up? Sorry, can't fix. What is? Don't mess up. Good. Look ahead. From yesterday. It kind of feels like he took words from some like inspirational speech and he's like, let's just take the key words out and just removed like all that extra stuff. So he's like, yesterday, what was today? What is tomorrow? What will be? What was messed up? Sorry, can't fix. What is? Don't mess up. Good. Look ahead from yesterday. Oh, I know. I mean, I'm sure it's fantastic. Yeah, his kid was 12. It's a little stupid, but it's fine. All right. Roasting children. That's what I'm doing. I'm roasting them like a witch. You know, goodbyes. This better not be an actually sad one, because then I'll feel bad. It was a sweltering sunny day. I was ready to go. On our trip, that is. My bags were packed. I was in the car, but something was missing. Something was wrong. Then it hit me like a bolt of lightning. My dog, she wasn't here. I asked my dad where she was. He said, you know, she was old, limp and deaf. I didn't know what he meant. Then he said, she's in a better place now. Just then I felt cold and lonely. Like in a basement with someone beating me. Beating me with a long thing dagger. I couldn't believe she was gone. Not even a goodbye. That's your parents' fault. Your dog died and they didn't let you even say goodbye to it. They told you the day you're leaving for your trip. What the hell? Your parents are assholes. They didn't even tell him, like, why the dog died. So if the dog just died of old age, then why wouldn't they be like, oh, no, son, the dog died. They're like, quick, throw it in the trash. We can tell him when we're already in the car, so he can't do anything. Yeah, you throw the dog in the trash because you're using your last plastic trash bag for your Goodwill donation. And no one wants a dead dog. Yeah, it's already all full of shame, and you have no room for dogs, so you just gotta chuck it in the trash. Cover it up with old cereal you didn't eat, like soggy Raisin Bran or some shit no one wants. Well, there's a lawnmower back there. You probably won't be able to hear it when I finally edit this. It's really fucking annoying. Okay. This one is called, it's a very deep title of Metaphor Poem. Thanks. Thank you for telling me. I'm glad that you already assume I'm so stupid I can't understand a metaphor. Fear. Fear is the monsters under your bed. It can keep you up all night and have the little hairs on your arms and back stand. You can't jump out of bed to fetch your dad because they will catch you by your ankles and drag you under. But don't worry. Day will come and obliterate the monsters that live under your bed, and your fear will stop until tonight. Wow, I would never have known that was a metaphor if it hadn't been called Metaphor Poem. So thank you, anonymous child. The monsters are a metaphor for fear. They live under your bed. They come out at night, so she's probably afraid of the nighttime. It's a metaphor poem, you guys. It was called Metaphor Poem. She's scared of the dark. The dark apparently comes out from under her bed. I don't think she knows how the sunlight works, but that's okay. She was 12. Okay, this one is called Fears. Now here's the question. Is Fears going to be a metaphor poem? Because the one before, it was a metaphor poem about fears. Now, I would love if the inside poem was literally about metaphors. That would be fantastic. There, and you'd be like, oh, clearly, because you're like, clearly they switched the titles, right? That'd be amazing if Metaphor Poem was literally about the use of metaphor. I don't think kids were that deep, but whatever. Fears. It was a night of ice-cold rain. In the woods, you could hear an animal die of pain. What the fuck is this kid doing out in the woods when it's raining, pouring rain, and animals are dying? This is not... This child... Oh, it's Damien. That's it. Fucking evil, evil child. So, it was a night of ice-cold rain. In the woods, you can hear an animal die of pain. If you're a sick fucker listening to animals dying. But it is far away, so I have no need to worry, you say. There's nothing that's going to happen today... Fucking moron. A wolf howls a deathly tone. Then you notice I'm all alone. Then you fucking notice? Wait, did you go to the woods by yourself? Or were you there with your friend and your friend like got dragged away? These are important questions. You think of your worst fear. Then your fear takes steps near. You get up to take your first step to run so fast. I don't believe it. They've never seen me run. It is not fast. But unfortunately, it is your last. So, is it the wolf that killed me? Is the wolf my fear? Or was it the fear of the wolf that killed me? Or was it the ice cold rain? Okay. Okay, this poem is called Colors. Sometimes I'm a fiery red, full of energy and excitement, full of love and laughter of joy. Laughter of joy. Okay, full of love and laughter of joy. That's a very odd way to put laughter of joy. I thought it would be laughter and joy, but you know, never mind. These are stupid kids. What am I trying to do? Well, correct this kid. He's an adult now. He doesn't give a shit. Okay. Hyperactive and can't be stopped. Playing outside all the time or just plain nice. Okay, so if he's hyperactive, medications, they have medications for that. But other times, I'm dark, black, mean, not a care in the world. Don't play outside. Tease my friends. Getting into trouble all the time. He's a rebel. Ooh, he's a bad boy. Don't listen to others or just play cold. But guess what? I'm fiery red, so don't make my day dark black. Oh my God, this guy had some inner turmoil. A sixth grader was very hard to be 11, you guys. So hard. Don't make him beat you up. His dad knows karate. His dad can beat up your dad. Look, he had to have his really bad cartoon villain voice because he's a fucking evil emo. Fine, we'll call him Elmo. Elmo the evil emo. That was the kid that wrote that poem. He's fiery red, just like Elmo. And then he's like evil Elmo. He turns dark black and like his head rotates 360 degrees and he fucking starts vomiting pea soup. That's what happens to evil emo Elmo, the sixth grader who wrote Colors. Next one is called Snow. The wind every so slowly blowing through my hair as the snow falls to the ground. Winter is here at last. The trees weeping with melting snow, knowing soon that winter will go, and then surely the flowers will grow. But I know spring is yet to show, and all can be as it was before winter, and life has begun to spring again. That just felt like I was saying nonsense at the end. Okay, whatever that was. I really just at the end, I totally don't understand what that meant. Okay, I know. You probably understand it. This eighth grader is far beyond my abilities. Okay, sleep. I'm sitting here trying to keep my eyes open. Same as everybody is listening right now. I wish I could just go to sleep and dream. Sleeping is like all of your problems fading away, and you're in a wonderful dreamland. Sleeping is dark, peaceful, and relaxing. I just love being all cuddled up with blankets, laying on a soft, fluffy pillow, and just sleeping and dreaming. This poem brought to you by sleep. Yelp review, 5 out of 5 stars. Have you tried sleeping and dreaming? My fucking God. It's like you're in a magical dreamland. I mean, I feel like that's kind of overselling it, but, you know, it's all right. Sigh. Your poems, I mean, your problems don't really disappear unless you're sleeping eternally, and let's not go there right now. That's a little bleak. So my poem is about that. I don't know. I don't remember which poem mine is. So when I get to it, I will let you know which one is mine. I'm not going to hide it. I will absolutely lampoon myself for the emo 12-year-old I was. Okay, this one is called Circle Poem. Oh, goody, goody. We all love a circle poem. Pet. Cat scratch. Sting. Band-aid. Hospital. White cloud. Wait, everything ends up white. White cloud. Plane. Crash. Burn. Death. Black cat pet. Wow, that got pretty dark. Pretty fucking dark. What is love? This poem sounds like it's going to be good. I love how this starts. The opening line already tells me it's going to be so promising. As the farmer plows the field, the man plows his wife. Ooh, okay, not really. As the hand works the cow. Oh, God, okay. Cow, not Hugh Cow, cow, okay. As the missus tends to the stove. That is some sexist fucking bullshit. The missus? Are you fucking kidding me? Tends to the stove? Yeah, she's not tending to your dick because you have a fucking chain to the stove. God damn. Man does not plow his wife. And they all know love grows. The farmer knows love is the sun. The hand knows love is the stars. The missus knows love is happiness. So you don't have to go too far. The farmer knows love is a rainbow. The hand knows love is a dream. The missus knows love is everything. So is love like everything that's important to her? Or like literally everything in the world? Everything in the world is love? I beg to differ. Have you ever met a mosquito? Those bitches are not fucking love. Those bitches are little Satan hell spawns. They're fucking horrible. Tiny, teeny little demons from hell. My God. I mean, I got bit by mosquitoes one time so fucking bad that I went to the doctor and I thought I had fucking chicken pox. And he was like, oh my God, that's the worst case of mosquito bites I've ever seen. Fucking mosquitoes. They were not love. Oh yeah, he thought I was like, is this chicken pox? And he's like, no, you dumb shit. No, he didn't say it, but I thought it. That's what I would have said. But he was probably too professional. And then afterwards, after I left, then he went to all his friends and he was like, hey, do you see that dumb shit who came in thinking it was chicken pox? What a dumb shit. That was me. I was that dumb shit. I totally did that. Okay, this one's called Angel. Part of me is brilliant purple. Respectful and helpful, loving and caring. Caring for my friends. Flowing like the full blue moon. That's an interesting metaphor. But deep down, I'm ugly blue. Tired, ugly blue. Blue's nice, jerk. Tired, grumpy, angry, yelling, and fighting a lot. I feel like a lot of these poems are kids justifying their bad behavior. The other guy's like, I'm red, but they made me black. I'm evil emo Elmo. Don't make me mad. And this girl's like, normally I'm brilliant. But see, look, she says part of me is respectful and helpful. But then she says deep down she's ugly. So is she saying in the core of herself she's actually tired, grumpy, angry, yelling, and fighting? Because deep down it seems like that's the pit of my being. Part of me is nice, but mostly I'm an asshole piece of shit. But then she says, but really, I'm a sweet little angel. I can't trust you. You said deep down you're ugly and horrifying. Okay. This one is called The Shadow of the Wall. My mind walks on a path through the shadows of trees with the light peeking through and a warm summer breeze. Ooh, this one actually rhymes. I'm impressed already. Deeper in it wanders as the forest grows thicker. The branches get tangled. My mind hurries quicker. Then the path disappears and no signs can be seen. The sun is shut out and I am lost in the green. Then a wall fades to sight, so cold, gray, and bare. Its shadow is dark. There's a chill with its stare. The walls have eyes. It's the wall of frustration. It blocks out the mind with a shadow so black it's not caring or kind. Damn it, frustration. Neither caring nor kind. My mind's goal is so close, yet so stern as the wall. It stretches on forever. It rises so tall. No door can be seen, no crack in the stone. It all looks so hopeless. No solution is known. Then thought comes to me. I step up to the base. Then reaching unsurely, I step through its dark face. How the hell did you do that? How do you step through frustration? Can you please tell me? Child, you figured it all out. Okay. Marriage. Marriage is when two become one. Marriage is when two families join together. Marriage is when you make a commitment. Marriage is when God gives you someone special. Marriage is a time to have fun. Marriage is a time to be together. Well, that's a lot of bland, vague statements about marriage. Thank you. Eighth grader. Okay, so this one is called Nightmare. Creatures are scary, like those of a nightmare. They keep you up all night, making you wonder, are they real? Well, what creatures? That's really vague. Like, are they real creatures or like fictitious creatures? The portrayed images from your imagination brought to life. The mere shadows of the night, strange noises. Perhaps images of a movie running through your mind. But are they real? Maybe so. Well, is it a nightmare or not? If it's a nightmare, it's not real. If it is real, then it's real. Okay. It's not that deep. All right, next one is another circle poem, and it's just entitled Circle Poem. Really lazy. Okay. Future. Computer. Internet. Stories. Bedtime stories. Children. Girls and boys. Girls. Women. Future. I mean, girls and boys to girls seems like a stretch, man. That seems like a fucking lazy-ass stretch, bitch. Okay. Next, we have a story. And it is actually a pretty lengthy story. If I know anything about this book of emo poems, it's probably going to be about somebody dying. Because all of these are about people dying. Puppies dying. Nightmares, fears, people dying, and then people bragging about themselves or complaining that they're going to hurt you if you make them act like an asshole. And circle poems about San Francisco rice. And women and girls and boys being the future. Go, go women. So today we are going to finish up this Valentine's Day special because I fucking said it is, because fuck it. I'm going to eat lots of chocolate today. Enough to stop my heart, and hearts have to do with Valentine's Day, and so it's a Valentine's Day special because it's related somehow. Cool. All right, this is a story called Together Forever. Oh God, it's definitely about death. There's no way it's not with that title. Wait, as we'll call it Story About Death. Metaphor Story. In a dusty, gloomy alley, a young 27-year-old woman walked with her 5-year-old daughter. Damn, she's popping them out early. The two were taking a shortcut to their small but cozy home on the better side of town. The mother's name was Jamie. She was a loving and beautiful woman. Jamie had sparkling eyes that were as green as the needles on a pine tree. It's very specific. Her hair was red, with waves like an ocean current. She had skin that was peach-colored and smooth as silk. Wait, if it was really peach-colored, that bitch was orange as fuck. The daughter looked almost exactly like her mater, but slightly different. Oh, cool. She looked almost exactly like her mother, but slightly different. The daughter, Cecilia, had the same hair and skin as her mother, that poor peach bitch. But her eyes were as brown as pebbles glistening in a stream. The one trait she had inherited from her father. The one trait. With half his DNA, the only thing she got from her dad was fucking eyes. Okay. Genetics. It's science. Mike was a laid-back type of guy. He loved everyone in his family to a fault. He He would do anything for his loving wife and daughter. One would say they were a sickeningly sweet family. They were a perfect family with a perfect life. Dun, dun, dun. We know all that's not going to last. It's not going to be a story about a perfect family with a perfect life. That's a little unrealistic. Okay. So, honey. Wait. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is the mom. Sorry. I did a dad voice. It's not a dad. It's a mom. So, honey, are you excited about going home and seeing your father? Jamie questioned her daughter.
Oh, yes, Mommy.
Cecilia shouted, I hoped, while bouncing up and down. Look, Cecilia had a beautiful voice, just like her mother, so don't judge.
Now calm down, dear. We have to get home quickly. It's getting dark.
She whispered. Now calm down, dear. We have to get home quickly. It's getting dark. Jamie whispered as she saw two figures appear about 10 yards away. The figures came closer and they're all gonna die, man. I mean, together forever? What, do they die together? This is depressing shit. The figures came closer and closer until they were about 1 foot away. As the shadows lifted, Jamie saw two teenaged boys standing in front of her. Wait a minute. Wait. So she didn't see their faces until they were a foot away from her? They're practically nose to nose. They're literally, like, right touching her. And she's like, oh, you're a teenager. They're like, damn, bitch, buy some glasses. Huh. Oh, God. Okay. Hey, what you doing on our grounds? The tallest boy blurted out.
Yeah.
The other boy snickered. Shut up, JoJo! The tall teen barked.
Aw, come on, bulldog.
JoJo complained. Damn, these are some, like, 50s-style gangsters, dude.
We got some business right in front of us before I deal with you,
bulldog growled at JoJo.
So answer me, woman, or I'm gonna get upset,
bulldog demanded.
Oh, please, leave us alone. We're just on our way to our house, Jamie announced.
Too late. I'm upset. Real upset, he shouted.
With that, both boys pulled out medium-sized knives and raised them. I'm glad they weren't large. That would have been scary.
Run, Cecilia, run,
Jamie shrieked.
Mammy,
Cecilia yelled as she ran. Hearing her mom's cried, she stopped and realized she couldn't leave. As she turned and headed back, oh my God, Cecilia saw the two gang members stabbing and beating her mother.
I fucking knew it. This is dark.
She heard her mother's constant cries for help, but she could not answer them. Wait, why? She couldn't leave, so she just had to stay there and watch? Good job. You could have fucking run for help, dumbass. 10 minutes later, she waited for 10 minutes to watch her mom get beaten and stabbed? 10 minutes is a long fucking time! I would be tired as hell after, like, 3. Jesus. That kid has a longer attention span than I do. I'd tap out after a couple minutes of watching a beating. Like, damn, is there something else to do? Shit. Yeah, people are 10 minutes of beating, yawn. Give me something else. Okay, so Cecilia didn't listen to her mom and she just watched her get beat up. Really wanted that therapy later. Then they started to... 10 minutes later, Bulldog and JoJo each gave Jamie one final kick and threw her in the dumpster and left her for dead. Everything's going in the dumpster, just like that dog. They then started to look for Cecilia, but could not find her because she was so small and had hid in a tiny cardboard box.
Let's bounce, JoJo, before the beat gets here.
He's definitely from the 50s. The beat? Before the beat gets here?
Yeah, we better hightail it out of here.
He didn't really say that, but he might as well have, Bulldog remarked. Once Cecilia knew the two were gone, she scurried over to the dumpster.
Mommy, Mommy, can you hear me?
She called out.
Cecilia, is that you? Come here, honey.
What a fucking dumbass. She could have gotten help. Her mom could still be alive. Jamie moaned. It took all of Jamie's strength to get out of the dumpster with the help of Cecilia. Jamie lay on the ground and took Cecilia into her arms.
"Why are you talking like that, Bobby?" Cecilia asked.
"Oh, never mind. Just let me hold you," Jamie pleaded, because she knew even if she asked her daughter to get help, she wouldn't, because her daughter was dumb. Jamie and Cecilia just lay there together. Cecilia was getting drenched in her mother's blood, gushing out of her wounds. Thanks, Quentin Tarantino. It scared her a little, but she didn't mind because she always loved being held by her mother. I would fucking mind if someone I loved was holding me and gushing blood. That's a little problematic. I'm glad this child is so blasé about her mother bleeding to death in her arms. After a short while, Cecilia got up, announcing,
"Okay, Mom, let's go home,"
because she's stupid.
"Mommy! Mommy!"
When Jamie didn't respond, Cecilia began to shake her.
"Mommy! Mommy, wake up!"
Cecilia began to scream. As she stood there staring at her mother, Cecilia saw Jamie's beautiful red hair now dripping with her own blood. She knew her mother wasn't going to wake up this time.
"How am I going to get home?"
Cecilia thought to herself. "Jump in traffic, Cecilia. Do us all a favor." She decided that she would have to go home alone to get help. She ran as fast as she could.
"Daddy! Daddy, come fast!"
Cecilia demanded as she burst through the front door of her house.
"Honey, what's wrong? Where's your mother and why are you covered in blood?"
Mike asked.
"Mommy's hurt!"
Cecilia sobbed as tears ran down her face.
"Where is she?"
Mike demanded.
"Two boys hurt her. She's in an alley. This is her blood. Come on, we have to go get her," Cecilia cried.
You know, if he could have... She could have done that like 10 fucking minutes ago. She has still been alive. She's way too laid back about someone gushing blood. I'm telling you, even a little kid... A kid who could form that kind of a sentence to their dad would fucking understand that somebody being stabbed and gushing blood means they're in fucking trouble. Not, "Hey, mommy wants to hold me. What's this funny red liquid coming out of mommy's body?" Come on. Mike took Cecilia's hand and together they went back to the alley where Jamie's body lay lifeless.
"Oh my God!"
gasped Mike as he crumpled to his knees next to his wife's body.
"Who did this?"
"One was named Jojo, and I didn't hear the other boy's name," Cecilia stated.
Mike held his wife in his arms as tears fell freely from his eyes. How could this have happened? His perfect world was crumbling.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, this next part's pretty long, so I'm going to stop it for now. Because my voice is starting to get tired, and, it's getting really late, guys. It's almost 10:20 in the morning, and I just can't continue on. I know you're all dying to know what happens after Cecilia watched her mother be beaten and stabbed to death, and I'm dying to know too, but not dying as bad as Jamie was. Oh, burn, bitch, you're dead now. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed my roasting of children and children's attempts at literature. If you enjoyed it and do not think that it makes me a terrible person, please say so in the comments below. If you enjoyed it and think it makes me a terrible person, but you're okay with it because you're also a terrible person, let me know in the comments below. And if you didn't like it, keep those comments to yourself. You have terrible taste, and this was amazing. And happy Valentine's Day. Special was phenomenal. It ended with blood, a little girl, and her mother's bloody body, which is the best way to end Valentine's Day, but not really. Don't kill people. Okay, thank you guys for listening, and I will talk to you next week. All right, love you guys. Mwah.